Would you please take the Word of God this morning and turn to Genesis, if you would, chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Before we read the passage of Scripture this morning, we come and we dealt with the same passage of Scripture last week, but we announced that I would be dealing with it in one way and that this week we would be dealing with it in the other way. And the truth is, the passage itself revealed to us that there is a twofold understanding of what is taking place here. There is a present understanding as it pertains to the life of Abraham, but there's also a prophetic understanding as it pertains to Jesus Christ. And so, last week we determined that this was a test that God placed before Abraham. The Bible says so. If you notice in Genesis 22 verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." And so we address the first aspect of this passage, and that is what the Bible says. It was a test for Abraham. And the Bible gives us the result of that test in verse 12. It says this, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And so, we came to the place where we saw that Abraham passed the test. And as a result, God saw that Abraham feared the Lord and loved the Lord more than anything else. But there's also a double understanding of this passage, and the Bible confirms us to that in the end of verse 14, and we'll read our passage and then I'll explain that. And so if you would, in Genesis 22, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord, notice the last few words, it shall be seen. I would like to draw your attention, if you would, to verse number 8. And you find here that Isaac, in verse number 7, had asked his father as they let the two young men stay behind, and they made their way up the mountain. And Isaac observes his father and he says, well, we have the wood. I see the knife. I see what we have ready to make the fire. Everything seems to be ready, but there's one thing missing. And Isaac asks his father, where is the lamb? And Abraham in verse 8 says, my son, notice the words, God will provide himself a lamb. Now those words are very important in the aspect of Abraham. It was a statement of faith, but it was also a prophetic statement. Now we know that because in verse 14, Abraham, after all is said and done, the Bible says he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so we see that Abraham had in verse 8 made a statement of faith, God will provide himself a lamb. And in verse 14 he calls the place Jehovah Jireh. The name of the place means, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see. And with the understanding, the Lord will see to it. He is going to bring this to pass. He will make sure that the need has been met. We know that this expression to mean, Jehovah Jireh means, the Lord will provide. And so understand that those statements go together. God will provide himself a lamb. It will happen. He will provide. And after it is all said and done, God says, this place is called Jehovah Jireh because there the Lord will provide. God that a lamb will be provided. And so the end statement helps us to see that this event took place. Not only do we understand it, that it was a test for Abraham in the present, a trying of his faith, but we also understand this statement to be referring to a future event which would surely happen one day. God will see to it that what was pictured in this account would come to pass. You see, there is one event that stands at the center of the biblical revelation. This event is known as the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And as we study the Word of God, we understand that everything in the Word of God, whether it was written before the crucifixion or after the crucifixion, points to that one event, which is the crucifixion. From the book of Genesis chapter number 3 to the book of Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation 3 talks about how there is going to be a man that will be provided who will intercede for the need of the people. And we also understand in Revelation chapter 13 that God announces that the lamb that was slain, as mentioned in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was slain before the foundation of the world. And so as we deal with this passage, he's talking about a future event that stands at the center of biblical revelation. Even Jesus Christ, after he died on the cross and after 3 days he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples and said this unto him who had a hard time believing what took place. Jesus said this in Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. That's where we are in Genesis. And in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And so understand that as we study the Word of God, it points us to one event that stands at the center of biblical revelation, and that is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The place where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. I want to deal with three aspects of this passage this morning, and as we look and we progress through this chapter as we did last week, but particularly we're going to see how this connects to this one event in biblical revelation that stands at the center. I want us to first of all consider the plan of this provision, the plan of this provision. As we begin in our text, we find that God asks Abraham to offer a burnt offering. And by the way, that is something that Abraham had done before. It is not something that was new. Abraham was familiar with the practice of a burnt offering. He had offered a burnt offering to the Lord many times before. But this time, the Lord's request is different. This time, the Lord asks Abraham to offer up his only son, Isaac. God did not request a lamb of Abraham as he had done in the past. God is requesting Abraham to offer his only son, Isaac. However, I would like for us to note that this offering was not to be offered just anywhere. There was a particular place in which it was to be offered. And the Bible tells us of this place in verse number 2. Notice the Bible says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there." Where's the there? That's Moriah. "For a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now God commanded Abraham to go into the land of Moriah. Now the land of Moriah is significant as we consider the history as we find it in the Bible. The land of Moriah would later be known as Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1, when Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, the Bible says this, that Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. And so understand that this Mount Moriah that God requested Abraham to go to was not the back door. He actually had to travel, according to our text, 3 days to get to Mount Moriah, who would one day have a significant place in the history of Israel, and particularly would have a significant place when it comes to the provision of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But what is interesting to note is that the word Moriah means this. It means foreseen of Jehovah. Foreseen of Jehovah. In other words, that the indication for us in that term Moriah means that this is a place that which God had foreseen, He had pre-planned, He had preordained for something, a particular event, to take place in Mount Moriah. It has been foreseen of God. And I believe that this reminds us that as we begin in our study of the book of Genesis, when we find that man sinned in Genesis chapter number 3, can I say this? It did not take God by surprise. God was not surprised by the sin of man. In truth, we find that God offered hope for mankind the moment He pronounced the curse upon mankind. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, as God finds Abraham and He pronounces this curse upon the serpent and then upon the woman and upon Adam, in the midst of that, in Genesis 3:15, God announces hope and He says this, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so in the midst of God's curse upon man, because of his rebellion against God, God provides the answer to this curse. And so the Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:20. He says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." He goes back to the record of Genesis and he says, when the whole creation was made subject to vanity, was cursed of God. It was cursed of God in hope. You know what that means? That as the curse of sin falls upon man, in the midst of that pronouncement of the curse of sin and the death of man, in the middle of that, God says there is hope. And He points us right back to this one event in the midst that stands at the center of biblical revelation. In Revelation 13:8, the Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." However, we must understand that this account would be a very personal one to Abraham. Although we understand that this was foreseen of God, it was pre-planned of God, that God had in His mind before man even sinned to redeem man and to draw man back to Himself, this particular event would be personal to Abraham.
Because here God is asking Abraham to offer up his son as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now we ask ourselves, this seems quite peculiar. This is something that we never see God asking for in any other portion of Scripture. But understand that this request is connected to the truth that what took place on this mount is a foreshadow of what one day would take place. And so God had a particular purpose for it. God, by the way, does not want anybody to offer his son or their daughter as a sacrifice to him. He made this Abraham and Isaac an example of what was to come. You see, it is clearly revealed that Isaac was the one that God would establish his covenant with as the promised seed of Abraham. And if you go back a few chapters in Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, he says, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and with which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year." And so God had already told Abraham that Isaac would receive the covenant. He would receive the blessing of God. In the previous chapter in Genesis 21, the Bible says, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto the voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So understand that as this request is posed to Abraham, Abraham is thinking, well, wait a minute, it is through Isaac that Messiah is to come. It is through Isaac that the covenant is going to be fulfilled. It is in Isaac that the seed is going to be called. And so the words in our passage are strong in the expression as we consider now this relationship between Abraham and Isaac. Verse 2 says, "And he said, Take now thy son." Notice, "thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." And notice he says, "And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." You see, God would work out his plan through Isaac as it was promised. But also God would use Isaac as a picture to reveal his plan. So think, there's really a twofold purpose in what is taking place, because Isaac, through Isaac would come the promised seed and eventually the promised Messiah who is to die for the sins of the world. But also in this passage, God is going to use Isaac as an example, as a picture, as a foreshadow of what Christ would do. And so we see the plan for the provision, but number two, we see the place of provision. I find it interesting in our text that there is a word that is repeated often that helps us to place an emphasis. The Bible says in verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him of." God said, "You're going to go to Mount Moriah. You're going to go to the place." Notice verse number 4. "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." If you go over to verse number 9, the Bible says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of." And finally, I want you to notice verse 14. "And Abraham called the name of that place." Understand that what is taking place here is not speaking just about the fact that God has a plan that's going to be worked out throughout the pages of human history, but there's also a particular place of provision. There is one place. When it comes to salvation, there is only one place to find it. The only place to find salvation is at the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, we find this emphasized in the New Testament by our Lord even himself. You remember throughout his ministry, Jesus Christ, as he spent time with his disciples, he constantly reiterated to them that one day he is going to be taken in the hands of sinners, he is going to be put to death, and after 3 days he's going to rise again from the dead. In Matthew 16:21, the Bible says, "From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." The next chapter in Matthew 17:22, the Bible says, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners." In Matthew 20:18, the Bible says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." The particular place where he would go would be Jerusalem. Jerusalem stands in Moriah. The place where it was foreshadowed that Christ would be. It's interesting that in Luke 23:33, the Bible says, as Jesus Christ bore his cross and went up to Mount Calvary, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary." You see, there is only one place to find salvation. There is only one place to find forgiveness of sin. And that place is Mount Moriah, which foreshadowed Mount Calvary. There is only one place. That's why Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no other way to have everlasting life but through Jesus Christ at the place of the cross. And so understand that the one place that we find in Genesis 2:22 that was emphasized foreshadowed the place of Luke 23. Mount Moriah was a foreshadow of Mount Calvary. We note several truths about the coming of this place. It is interesting that we find some similarities between how Abraham and Isaac came to the place and how Jesus Christ came to the place. First of all, we find that this place is a place of solitude. I find it interesting that in our passage in Genesis 22, that when Abraham and Isaac saw the place afar off, Abraham told the two servants that were with him to stay behind. And Isaac himself, who before the servants were bearing the wood, or the wood was sitting on the ash there, and now the wood has been placed upon Isaac, and Isaac now is bearing the wood himself. You see, the place of Mount Moriah, the place of Calvary, is a place of solitude. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible describes and speaks of Jesus Christ by saying this, "Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins." We must understand that Calvary is a place of solitude, and we must understand that there was no other person that could be offered as a sacrifice for sin. No other could bear the burden. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, the Bible describes for us the Lord Jesus Christ and says this, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice as He's dying on the cross. He says, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?'" And so understand, as we see the place of the provision, we understand that this place, the place of Calvary, the place of Mount Moriah, is a place of solitude. God didn't want anybody else to be offered as a sacrifice but Abraham's son Isaac. And there is only one sacrifice that is requested of God, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. And so we see this place is a place of solitude, but secondly, we see this is a place of sorrow. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 7, as Abraham leaves the two young men behind, he goes up with Isaac and he places the wood upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand in verse number 6 and a knife, and they went both of them together. And so the Bible says they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham and his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I," and "My son," and he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son," notice the words, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." But notice the expression again, "So they went both of them together." Twice we find that expression repeated. And I believe that there's a reason for that. The first time we find that Isaac has the wood, he's trapped on his back, and he looks at his father and he sees as they're going up together to this mount, and he finds that Abraham has the knife and he has the wherewithal to make the fire and he has the wood, and he's thinking, well, it seems that we have everything, but there's one thing missing. Father, where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. And so understand that at some point, Isaac understood that he was to be offered as a sacrifice. How do we know that? Because later in verse number 9, the Bible says, when they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Understand that there was a moment when Isaac recognized that he was to be offered up. And he did so willingly. In that time, he was not an 8 or 9 year old man. He was a full grown man. And so if he could have fought his father, he could have been unwilling to do this. But the Bible repeats for us that as they go up to the mountain, they went both of them together. But as Isaac asked this question, he says, where is the lamb? And his father replies, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. The Bible repeats, so they continued both of them together. That means that Isaac recognized that he was to be offered, but he still went up. He was willing to continue to go up with his father. Willing, submitted. Can you imagine at that moment? I don't know if it was the words that were uttered by Abraham, or perhaps Isaac understood based upon the countenance of his father that he was to be offered as a sacrifice. What sorrow must have been felt by both Abraham and Isaac. The Bible tells us in describing Jesus Christ in Matthew 26, verse 38, before Jesus Christ is to be offered at Calvary, he spends time in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays. And the Bible tells us, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He was so sorrowful that the biblical record indicates to us that there was great drops of blood dripping from his face. And so understand that the place of provision is a place of solitude. It is a place of sorrow, but it is also, thirdly, a place of submission. The Bible indicates for us they went both of them together twice. And Isaac was bound. He was laid upon the wood. In Luke 22, verse 42, as Jesus Christ prays, his words are such. He says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, this cup of bitterness. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, clearly Jesus Christ, toward the beginning of his ministry, indicated to the disciples that no one was going to take his life. He would offer his life freely. In John 10:6-18, Jesus says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You remember as Pilate was standing before Jesus Christ, and he asked him, why don't you defend yourself? Don't you know that I have power to put you to death? And Jesus Christ says, you have no power except to be given thee from God. And so understand that no one took Jesus, the life of Jesus Christ. He willingly laid it down himself. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 tells us, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So understand that this place of provision is a place of solitude, it is a place of sorrow, and it is a place of submission. And Isaac in that is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. But I want to consider lastly, not only see the plan of provision, the place of provision, but thirdly, we see the person of provision, the person provided. Or perhaps we could use the word, we see the propitiation provided. You see, in our text here, it is clearly that there is a plan of God that is going to be done. It is clear that this place of Mount Moriah, which is to foreshadow Calvary, is perfectly pictured in Isaac, Abraham's son. But understand something. On that day, Isaac did not lose his life. And ultimately, on that day, Isaac was not offered as Jesus Christ was offered. But there's something that happened for us, and we see in our text. I want us to pick it up, if you would, in verse number 7, or verse number 9. The Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham, notice, built an altar there. The Bible says he just built an altar. He built an altar there at that place that was requested by God. Nowhere else. And laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Do you see the scene? Abraham goes up, and the Bible tells us every detail, as he had always done before when offering a sacrifice to God. The altar was built. The wood was laid in order as it always had been. But this time there's something different. You see, typically, Abraham offered a lamb. That's why Isaac asked earlier, where's the lamb? And typically, the lamb would be bound and would be placed upon the altar, and the fire would not be set yet, because the next step of the offering would be, as the lamb is bound on the altar and is still alive, Abraham would, at that time, he would take the knife. And at that moment, often, they would cut the throat of the animal. The animal would bleed to death. And after the blood was spilled from the animal, then the fire would consume that offering unto God. But there's something different about this particular instance, because here, this is not a lamb as Abraham had often done. This is someone that is precious to him and his only son. And Abraham goes through all the motions that he had always gone through, but at that particular time, his son is there, and so the feelings were different, but he goes through the same motions. And so you find that his son, pictured there, is bound on the altar as a lamb would be. And Abraham raises up his hand with knife in hand, ready to slay his son. And so understand here that the knife and the fire picture for us the wrath of God. The Bible makes it very clear to us in Isaiah chapter 53 that it pleased God to bruise him. He, God, hath put him, Christ, through grief. You see, He, by His stripes, we are healed. And so understand that at Calvary, at Mount Calvary, when Jesus Christ died, understand that the wrath of God was poured upon the Son. Just as a knife pictured that would come upon the Lamb to slay the Lamb, it represents the judgment of God upon sin and the wrath of God upon the wickedness of man, and then the consuming of that offering. Understand, it was a picture of the wrath of God and the punishment for sin. And so understand that as Abraham raised up his knife, he fully understand that man is not guiltless. He understand that man is not justified. He is not rightfully experiencing the wrath of God. He fully knows that, and he knows that God is not unrighteous, but he is fully aware of the sin of man. But understand here what happens. The Bible says, as his hand is stretched forth in faith and obedience to God, his knife, the wrath of God, is to be about to plunge upon his son. Verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And so at that moment, Abraham's relieved. God said, stop. But note what happens further. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And so, as the voice of God comes from heaven and tells him to stop the offering of the sacrifice, he's looking up into heaven. And so understand that as we talk about Isaac, we see the person, but we also see here the propitiation. The word propitiation speaks of a substitute, an exchange. A simple way to put it is an atoning victim. Someone that stands in your place, that receives the punishment for the crime committed. The wood was laid upon Isaac. The knife and fire were in his hands, and they went both of them together. And we find all of the order of those events. But this time, it was all done with Isaac as commanded by God. What a sight. Can you imagine here as Abraham is willing to offer his son Isaac because it was commanded by God, and then God stops him and he says, don't touch him? And Abraham, understand, you see the scene, do you see, feel the emotions going on within the heart and the mind of Abraham as he says, stop, what a relief at that moment. But understand that it was just not about the stopping. Something else happened. As Abraham is looking up into heaven, the Bible says, and he looked and, notice, behold, that word, I love that word, particularly in this verse, behold, behind him, a ram. Notice, caught in a thicket by his horns. There's a ram. Now understand that at that moment, no instruction is needed. God had previously said, you're going to go up to Mount Moriah, you're going to build an altar, you're going to take the wood, you're going to take the knife, you're going to offer your son as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord, a burnt offering unto the Lord. And so understand that Abraham did all those things, and as he's ready to offer up his son, God said, stop. And as he's looking up into heaven, understand at that moment where he says, well, wait a minute, at that moment there is no sacrifice anymore because God says, stop. And at that moment, as he's looking up to heaven, behind him, behold, there's a ram. They are caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham, who had spoken in faith, God will provide himself a lamb, is now seeing the evidence of that. You see, this ram didn't just happen to be there. This ram was placed by God himself. And as he's looking up into heaven, understand the Bible says, behold, behind him. So understand, God did not turn Abraham and says, look, I have a ram prepared for you. As he's looking up to heaven, and all that he hears from God is, stop, now I know that you fear me. Do not offer your son. At that moment, as he's looking up into heaven, he hears brush behind him. And he's compelled because of the sound to turn. And sure enough, as he turns around, he sees a ram caught in a thicket. And notice the Bible says, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. God did not have instruction for him. He just did what he normally would do. But the Bible says this, and offered him up for a burnt offering, notice, in the stead of his son. What a sight. I would imagine that Abraham, at some point, as we often do with things that we do over and over again, we can do things really repetitively and they don't mean anything anymore. And Abraham, no doubt, throughout his time, as he has followed the Lord all those years, he is offered many burnt offerings unto the Lord. It's something that he's done. We find the Bible mentions those things. But this time was a little different, you understand, because this time he was asked for his son. But notice here, as he was about to offer his son, God said, stop, and God provided a ram behind him. And Abraham sees the ram, and he knows immediately that God is the one that provided this ram. And therefore, Abraham offers up this burnt offering. Notice, but he says, in the stead, in the place of his son. You see, the ram was there to replace Isaac. Just as Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was there to replace you. And so understand that as Abraham here, all of these feelings, all the things that he had always done, but now he's doing this offering one more time. But I believe this offering means much more to him now. Why? Because this particular offering is in the place of his son. This particular offering was the propitiation, was the substitute, was the exchange, was the atoning victim in the place of his son. So this offering now, as Abraham makes his way to the bush and he grabs this ram and undoes the horns that are caught in the thicket, he brings over to the altar and he repeats the steps that he had done with Isaac. He binds this ram and he sets this ram upon the altar. And I'd imagine the scene as Abraham is sitting there, as he's looking at that ram, and even Isaac himself, as he's looking at God providing this ram, they're both looking at the ram and they recognize at that moment that this ram has been offered as a substitute for Isaac. Amen. And to understand that when Jesus Christ, this foreshadows Mount Calvary, where Jesus Christ was offered as your substitute. You see, you stood there on the altar of sacrifice, guilty of sin and the wrath of God being poured out upon you. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, but God has offered a propitiation. He's offered a substitute. He's offered someone to pay for your sin. And so how precious this ram would be to Abraham. And perhaps now, better than ever before, he recognizes the preciousness of this ram. Because for the first time, perhaps, he fully understands what it means to have Jesus Christ be the substitute, the atonement for your sin. Romans 3:25, the Bible says, speaking of Christ, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And to understand that this Mount Moriah, this place that was planned of God, foreseen of God, this particular place where salvation is found, understand the person that is the focal point of this passage. Because ultimately, Isaac falls just a little short of picturing Christ, because Isaac did not lose his life. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world lost his life for the sake of Isaac. And so, in verse 14, as Abraham has seen that and understood that this was a test from God, he beholds this place, and this place has a special meaning to him. And therefore he calls this place a particular name. The Bible says he called the name of that place. That place right there where that altar was built, where the wood was laid, where his son lay bound and was about to be offered as a burnt offering, whose lamb was provided, that place where we saw the provision of God, the Lamb of God, who would be the substitute for the sin of the world, that place is called Jehovah Jireh. God will see to it that a lamb will be provided for the sins of the world. God in that place. You see, you stand there, and Abraham makes a prophetic statement, and he says, and notice, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And understand that as Abraham is standing there, he hasn't seen Jesus Christ. He's only heard of him. He's only received the promise. He's seen them afar off, but he did not see Jesus Christ. But at that moment, as he's standing on this mountain, he says, there is one day that's going to come when this will barely happen. It will not be a picture anymore. It will be reality when the Son of God is going to come down from heaven, who is going to become a man without ceasing to be God, and who is going to offer up himself. He's going to lay down his life for the sins of the world. In that place, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb who will satisfy the demands of a holy God. So we see the plan, the place, and the person. The propitiation that was offered for our sins. I wonder this morning, there are only two kinds of people in the auditorium this morning. There are those of you who have come to this place.
You've understood, as Abraham understood, that you're a sinner deserving of the wrath of God under the judgment of God. And you know that. You're guilty. But you've come to the place called Calvary, where Jesus Christ offered himself as a substitute for your sins. And there was one day you trusted him as your Savior. You recognized that being a good person or whatever you could do in your life would not be good enough to get yourself to heaven. And one day you saw the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as being offered for your sins. He died for you in your stead and your place. As 1 Corinthians says, He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, who were in sin, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's Christ. And so you may not be a Christian this morning, but can I say you can be? Perhaps you're not a Christian this morning and you've been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life where you understand where you're sitting, that you're a sinner deserving of hell because you know your life is full of sin. As everybody's life is. And for the first time you've seen what Jesus Christ did for you and understood. And perhaps the words that Jesus said are different to you now because they said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible is very simple. All I have to do is repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Acknowledge what you know to be true in the Word of God about yourself and acknowledge who Jesus Christ is and see Him as the only one who can take care of your need. He is the Lamb that was provided. Listen, not for just the sins of the world. You know what that means? For your sins. On the cross of Calvary, it was not just Jesus Christ that died. He had no sin. It was our sins that He atoned for.